While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom. Algorithmic bias is literally determining who lives and dies in our healthcare system. I've been digging through these leaked insurance company documents, and what I'm finding is terrifying.
Alex, you sound shook. What exactly are we looking at here?
So picture this. A 58-year-old black woman in Detroit gets denied coverage for a heart procedure. The algorithm flagged her as high risk, low compliance potential. But when we trace back the data points, it's using zip code, previous missed appointments, and get this, whether she's ever filed a complaint against a medical provider.
Hold up, they're penalizing people for advocating for themselves? For speaking up about bad treatment?
That's exactly what's happening. And I've got advocate Amara on the line. She used to work inside one of these companies before she blew the whistle. Amara, can you break down how these systems actually work?
Thanks for having me, Alex. Look, I spent 5 years helping build these risk assessment tools, and I watched them evolve from supposedly neutral calculators into weapons of discrimination. The fundamental problem is that these algorithms are trained on historical data that's already soaked in bias.
But they always claim these systems are objective, right? That's the whole selling point.
That's the con. When I was inside, we'd have these meetings where executives would say things like, the data doesn't lie, but the data we fed these systems, it included decades of discriminatory practices. Black patients historically receiving less pain medication. That becomes lower treatment utilization. Latino families missing appointments because they couldn't get time off work. That's coded as non-compliance.
And these patterns from your International Journal article on debiasing algorithms, they show this isn't accidental. There's a clear profit motive here.
Absolutely. Every patient the algorithm rejects or assigns to a lower tier of care saves the company money. We had internal metrics showing that our risk optimization tools saved the company $47 million in one quarter alone. That's $47 million worth of human suffering.
I'm about to lose it. These companies are literally programming discrimination and calling it innovation. My own mama got caught up in one of these systems last year. They said her diabetes management score was too low to qualify for the new continuous glucose monitor.
What was their justification?
Get this. She'd been hospitalized twice for diabetic complications. So because she'd been sick, because the system had already failed her, they decided she wasn't worth investing in better preventive care. It's like voice shifting. It's like they want us to die quietly and cheaply.
We're seeing this same pattern across every sector. Researcher Keiko has been tracking these algorithmic decisions across multiple industries. Keiko, what are you finding?
The scope is staggering, Alex. In my research, I've documented algorithmic bias in criminal justice, employment, housing, finance. Essentially, every major life decision is now being influenced by these systems. And they all share common features. They're opaque, they're unaccountable, and they consistently disadvantage already marginalized communities. Break it down for us, Keiko. Give us the real examples. Let's start with criminal justice. I've been analyzing predictive policing algorithms in 15 major cities. These systems claim to predict where crimes will occur, but what they actually do is create feedback loops. They send more police to historically over-policed neighborhoods, which leads to more arrests, which feeds back into the system as proof that these areas are high crime.
It's manufacturing the evidence for its own bias.
Exactly. In Chicago, their heat list algorithm was supposed to identify people likely to be involved in shootings. But when we analyzed it, the strongest predictor wasn't criminal history. It was simply being a young black man who'd ever been arrested, even for minor violations. So they're basically creating a hit list of black men and calling it science.
And the companies selling these systems make millions. It's the perfect scam. Wrap racism in math, sell it as reform, and cash the checks while communities burn.
Speaking of profit, let's talk about employment algorithms. I've been investigating how gig economy platforms use these systems, and it's modern-day sharecropping.
Preach.
These delivery and rideshare apps, they use algorithms to determine everything. Which jobs you see, how much you'll get paid, whether you get bonuses. And guess what factors into those decisions? Your acceptance rate, your speed, whether you've ever declined jobs in certain neighborhoods.
My data shows that drivers who primarily work in affluent areas see 23% more high-paying job opportunities. The algorithm literally segregates the workforce based on where you live and work. And let me guess, if you can't afford to drive to the rich neighborhoods to start your day, you're locked into lower-paying routes forever.
Exactly. One driver I interviewed, Marcus, he tracked every job offer for 6 months, started working in South LA because that's where he lived. The algorithm kept giving him short, low-paying trips. When he started driving to Beverly Hills to begin his shifts, suddenly he's seeing airport runs, long-distance trips, bonuses.
But here's the kicker. These companies will swear up and down that their algorithms don't even see race. They don't have to. They use proxies. Zip code, credit score, smartphone type, response time. All of these correlate with race and class, but it gives them plausible deniability.
This is what gets me heated, voice rising. They've automated redlining, and they're acting like they invented fairness. My cousin tried to get an apartment last month, filled out one of those online applications, got rejected in 30 seconds. 30 seconds! How are you going to evaluate somebody's whole life in 30 seconds?
What did the rejection say?
Does not meet minimum qualification score. That's it. No explanation, no breakdown, no chance to appeal. Just digital redlining at the speed of light. The tenant screening algorithms are particularly insidious. I've analyzed several major platforms, and they penalize things like having multiple jobs, which they interpret as income instability, or having family members stay with you, which gets flagged as unauthorized occupants.
So they're penalizing people for surviving, for having family support systems.
That's exactly what's happening. And unlike traditional discrimination, where you might be able to identify and challenge a biased landlord, these systems hide behind trade secrets and proprietary algorithms.
I want to add something crucial here. When I was on the inside, we knew these systems were biased. We had reports, we had data, we had employees raising concerns. But fixing bias doesn't increase quarterly profits. So we'd make minor tweaks, issue press releases about our commitment to fairness, and keep cashing those enterprise contracts.
The Inside the Black Box research bears this out. Companies are aware of the bias, but treat it as a PR problem, not a human rights crisis.
We need to talk about the mental health impact, too. When every aspect of your life is being judged by a machine you can't see, can't understand, can't appeal to, that breaks people down. My neighbor's daughter, brilliant girl, applied to 50 jobs. All online, all algorithmic screening. Rejected by every single one before a human even saw her resume.
What happened?
She internalized it. Started believing she really wasn't qualified, wasn't good enough. Took her months of therapy to realize the game was rigged from the start. How many people don't get that breakthrough? How many people just accept that the machine must be right? This psychological impact is something my research is increasingly focusing on. We're seeing elevated rates of anxiety and depression in communities subjected to high levels of algorithmic decision-making. There's a learned helplessness that sets in when you're repeatedly rejected by systems you can't understand or challenge.
And the financial sector might be the worst offender. Amara, you mentioned credit scoring earlier.
The credit scoring algorithms are a masterclass in systemic oppression. They penalize you for not having credit history. But to build credit history, you need access to credit. They dock points for hard inquiries, but shopping around for better rates requires multiple inquiries. They reward long credit history, which inherently advantages people whose parents could add them as authorized users on cards when they were young.
Code switching, fully gonna land. And don't even get me started on how they calculate credit utilization. You're supposed to use your credit, but not too much. Have cards, but don't need them. It's designed for people who already got money to prove they deserve more money.
The loan approval algorithms are even worse. I've been analyzing mortgage applications, and the racial disparities are staggering.
My research confirms this. Even controlling for income, credit score, down payment, and every other traditional factor, Black applicants are 2.5 times more likely to be rejected. Latino applicants, 2.1 times. And when they are approved, they're systematically offered higher interest rates.
Because the algorithms include factors like neighborhood appreciation potential, which is just redlining with extra steps. They're betting against Black neighborhoods, creating the very disinvestment they claim to be predicting.
This brings us to the accountability question. These systems are shaping millions of lives, but they operate in near total secrecy. How do we fight something we can't even see?
That's why organizing is so crucial. We can't wait for these companies to grow a conscience. We need legislation, we need regulation, we need community power.
The European Union's AI Act is a start. They're requiring algorithmic impact assessments, transparency, and high-stakes decisions. But we need to go further. We need a right to human review, a right to explanation, a right to correction when these systems get it wrong.
And we need community involvement in the design process. The article on racial bias in prediction algorithms makes this clear. You can't de-bias a system that was built without input from the communities it affects.
There are some victories to build on. In California, community organizers defeated a predictive policing program by showing up to city council meetings with data, with stories, with demands.
That's right. In Oakland, we shut down their Domain Awareness Center, fancy name for mass surveillance. Took 2 years of organizing, but we won. The algorithms only have power if we accept their authority.
What other successful resistance have you seen, Amara?
In New York, tenant organizers exposed how screening algorithms were using arrest records, not convictions, just arrests, to deny housing. They pushed through legislation banning the practice. In Seattle, gig workers forced Uber and Lyft to disclose some of their algorithmic practices. Small wins, but they add up.
And we're building alternatives, too. Community land trusts that don't use algorithmic screening. Mutual aid networks that operate on trust, not credit scores. Worker cooperatives that share data and decisions democratically. This is crucial. We can't just critique these systems. We need to demonstrate that other ways are possible. In my research, I'm documenting these alternatives, showing that they often achieve better outcomes than their algorithmic counterparts.
The evidence from these debiasing articles shows that technical fixes aren't enough. We need fundamental restructuring of how these decisions get made.
Exactly. You can't debug injustice. You have to dismantle and rebuild with equity at the center.
Passionate. And we need to call out the gaslighting. Every time we raise these issues, they say we're being anti-innovation or afraid of technology. Nah, we're afraid of digital apartheid. We're afraid of automated oppression. There's a difference.
What would real accountability look like to you?
First, full transparency. If an algorithm makes a decision about my life, I should be able to see exactly how and why. Second, community oversight boards with actual power, not advisory committees they can ignore. Third, liability. If your algorithm discriminates, you pay, not fines that are just the cost of doing business, real consequences. I'd add mandatory bias audits by independent researchers with results made public, and algorithmic impact assessments before deployment, like environmental impact studies but for social harm.
And whistleblower protections. I lost everything when I spoke out, my job, my health insurance, my professional network. We need laws that protect people who expose these systems from the inside.
The pattern across all these sectors is clear. Healthcare, employment, housing, finance, criminal justice, everywhere algorithms are making decisions. They're amplifying existing inequalities and creating new ones.
But here's what gives me hope. People are waking up. Every community meeting I go to now, somebody's talking about algorithms. Grandmothers who've never coded a day in their lives are becoming algorithmic accountability experts because they have to, because their grandkids' futures depend on it.
Where do we go from here? What's the call to action for our listeners?
Document everything. If you're rejected by an algorithm, screenshot it, save it, share it. We need a massive database of algorithmic harms to prove the scope of this crisis.
Connect with researchers. We need your stories, your data, your experiences to build the evidence base for change. And organize. Find others in your community who've been affected. Start asking questions at city council meetings. Demand algorithmic accountability in your local policies. The revolution might not be televised, but it damn sure better not be algorithmized without our input.
We've seen that these systems aren't inevitable or unchangeable. They're choices made by people, funded by companies, permitted by governments, which means we can make different choices.
That's right. Every algorithm reflects the values of who built it. So we need to be in those rooms at those tables writing that code. And if they won't let us in, we build our own tables.
The future isn't determined by algorithms. It's determined by what we accept and what we resist.
And resistance is building. From the streets to the servers, people are saying enough. As our research shows, debiasing these systems isn't just a technical challenge. It's a movement for justice that connects every aspect of our lives. The question isn't whether we can create fair algorithms. It's whether we have the courage to demand them.